righteousness, peace, and joy.
It's that time again for Kingdom Building. Don't touch that dial. Kingdom Building is here right away.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.
You're promising
righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost.
Oh.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
WAIF as a community radio station serves only to open its airwaves to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Building. We're here every Wednesday from 12 to 1. And so glad we're here with you today. God bless you. Hope you're having a great day. If you're not, it's going to get better.
Praise the Lord.
Right?
That's right.
Okay.
It's a day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Amen.
And that's kind of goes along with our topic. But yeah. Anyway, we're so glad that you've tuned in. And I got a praise report from someone that might call in later on if he gets the opportunity. If not, that's fine. Maybe next week. So anyway, God bless you. Hope you're having a great day. But like I said, if not, you've tuned into the right station and the right program, because we've got good news for you. And the good news is Jesus Christ. Doesn't get any better than that. It's what everyone needs. Everyone needs Jesus. He's there. He's there. All you have to do is awaken to the fact that he's there, but he is there. So all we got to do is call upon his name. That's it.
That's right.
And he's right there. He's not afar off. He's right there. And God is good, and he's good all the time. So praise God. Okay, well, we're going to jump around a little bit. We're going to start off. Lord just kind of brought a word to me today, the word dominion. It's in the Bible quite a few times. We're going to give some of the scriptures. But the word dominion, you've heard that if a king has dominion over a certain area, then he is king over that certain area. That is his domain. And there's been funny stories about, a man's domain, meaning his house or his man cave or whatever, it's his domain. So, oh, by the way, I'm Rich.
At least his wife lets him think that.
Yeah,
for
think
a while.
That way. Yeah, right. My name's Rich. This is Oscar. Yeah, Mike has the day off, so praise the Lord. So anyway, domain, dominion, I mean, it starts way back in the first chapter of Genesis. It's easy for everybody to know that whatever God created is his domain. It's easy to believe that. That's easy stuff. But to see him and what he says in Genesis and throughout the Bible, that he has given us dominion in certain areas. And then at that point, we kind of struggle a little bit with it sometimes. But that word dominion is supreme authority. That's God.
Mm-hmm.
Sovereignty, that's God. He's sovereign. But man is born to complete dominion over all creation, all of it. Wow. That's something, that's a huge undertaking, isn't it? Well, good news, it's God that does all the work. You don't have to do anything, but be one with the Father. In fact, that's the only way it happens, is man's oneness with the Father. That's how it's going to happen, is you're going to line up with the Lord. Your will become, or his will becomes your will, and you line up with him. But if we go all the way back to Genesis 1, 26 to 28, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them,'" thought that was interesting, "let them," not just Adam, "let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth." Boy, that's, what is not included in all the earth?
Everything.
It's everything, right? Right. Over every creepy thing, even gets down to the nitty-gritty, and every creepy thing that creeps on the earth. So, God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." Mm-hmm. That's interesting, because that goes all the way back to the very first chapter of Genesis in the creation, 7-day creation, and then in Romans 6:14. I'm going to go there, but I'm not going to go there now. Let's see. Let's go to Psalms 8. Yeah, let's go to Psalms 8. Psalms 8 says, actually, we'll start with 4. It says in New King James, "What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him, for you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." And it goes on to say, the sheep, the oxen, the birds, the beasts of the field, the fish. But it means a lot more than just that. And what's interesting is this. If he has put all things under our feet, of course you could say, well, he was talking about Jesus. Well, you know what? He was talking about us too.
He was talking about man, yeah. In Hebrews, that same scripture says, "What is man that thou art mindful of?"
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. So we'll get into that. Yeah, that's good. So anyway, I guess what the Lord wants us to get out of this next hour is this. He has given you dominion. Mm-hmm. You know, if a boss gives you responsibility to do a job, mm-hmm. and he's a good boss, let's say, or she's a good boss, then basically they take their hands off of it and see how you're going to do and see if you're going to take on that responsibility. I think many of us are living beneath our authority and dominion. I really believe that. I think we have more dominion than we thought. But remember, the caveat to all this is you have to be one with the Lord. You have to be one with the Lord in order to exercise that dominion. But it says right here that I like how the Message says it. When it talks about in the Message, it says, don't give Don't even run little errands that are connected with the old way of life. Mm-hmm. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Remember that you've been raised from the dead into God's way of doing things. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. So basically it's like, for sin have not dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Mm-hmm. And it's the message also in the scripture before that talks about the Genesis charge. That's the Genesis charge. Mm-hmm. He is charging us to take dominion.
Right.
Are you taking dominion out there? Well, you may be saying, I heard all that, but I still don't know what that means. Well, we're going to cover that in the next 50 minutes about how you can take dominion in areas of your life, in your prayer life, in your health. I mean, in a lot of different things out there. And as long as you are lined up with the Lord, and it reminds me, Brother Oscar, of the scripture that if you speak it, then it's God's will, it's going to be done.
Yeah.
Period. It's going to be done. If you speak it and believe it, then it's going to be done if it's part of God's will. And so we're always wanting to, have the mind of Christ, because you know what? Christ, Jesus knew the will of God, of the Father. He knew it constantly. So that's how we're going to start things off. If you have any thoughts, we'll go ahead and take off with that.
Okay, Rich, I like to think that a lot of the dominion that we have is when we're obedient to what the Word of God declares concerning us and to what, we feel like the Lord tells us to do. In the Old Testament, there was a time when Daniel had been told that he wasn't to worship anything except, the gods of Babylon, basically, he went into his room, inner room, and he was a leader in Babylon, and he went into his inner room, and he opened the window and got right by the window and was praying towards Jerusalem. And they saw him doing that, and somebody went and told the king, that Daniel was being disobedient to the king's charge, Well, the king didn't really want to have to
discipline
Daniel, but he had to, because once they made a decree in the Medes and the Persians, you couldn't break that decree. Even the king couldn't break his own decree once he made it. And so he took Daniel and he threw him in the lion's den. And, he really didn't want to do it. But when he threw him in there, he came back later on and he called out after Daniel had been in there for a while, and he called out and he says, "Oh, Daniel," he says, Was your God able to keep you in the lion's den?" And Daniel said, "Yes," he said, "he shut the mouth of the lions." And I got news for you, and this is what happened, and this was the results of what happened after that, and this is in Daniel chapter 6, verse 26. And this is what King Darius said after that. He said, "I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom is that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. And he delivered and rescued, that he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. And this this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persians." God has a way that if you're obedient unto him, He has dominion over the people who think they have dominion. You know what I mean? And yep. He will allow you to exercise his dominion over other things. You know, there's a time when we have to learn to even proclaim what God's word declares over what we see with our natural eyes. And a lot of times, you know, we will see things with our natural eyes and we'll think, oh my goodness, it's just like even with this coronavirus thing, you know. You could be worrying yourself sick over that, or you could say, you could take that scripture where he said no plague will come nigh on your dwelling, and you could begin to proclaim his word and stand on his word. And I believe that he would honor his word, especially if he inspired you to stand on that word, you know. And a lot of times people, we walk below the dominion that God's given us, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, Peter and them were told that these signs shall follow them that believe. You know, it said that they can drink any deadly thing and it won't harm them, and they can do this and they can do that and so on and so forth. And you know, I heard a testimony one time that they said over in Russia years and years ago that this man was brought before the council over there, and you know, they were persecuting him because he was a Christian. And they basically told him, they said, they took that portion of scripture that says that they shall drink any deadly thing and it won't harm them. And they gave poison to a dog, and the dog died. And they told this man, do you believe this scripture? And he said, well, yes, I believe that scripture, that's God's word. And they said, well, then you have to drink this poison if you believe that scripture. Well, he drank the poison, but it had no effect on him. Now, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to go out and carry around bottles of poison with you and drink them, and so people know that God's got his hand on you.
Or put snakes in front of your face.
No, right. But you know what? He was placed in that position by man, and God showed himself mighty in that position. And you know, I'll share another little story with you. And this guy, he came to our church one time years ago, and this was before you were coming, I believe. And this brother he would smuggle Bibles into Russia. Because the Russian government tried to push Christianity down, because Christianity would cause people to rise up eventually and to put that government in their proper place. And this brother, he came up, he used to smuggle Bibles into Russia. And he had these Bibles hidden, like, inside his coat, and he had them in his briefcase and everything. And he got up to the customs place in Russia, and the man in front of him somehow kind of stumbled back or something, and they grabbed that man and pushed him. And in the process, they pushed this brother on through. Well, he went through with those Bibles. And there was a minister in Russia who had been preaching for years and years and years off of one page of the Bible. He only had one page of the Bible. And he had been preaching sermons from that one page for years. And you know how that is. God can, you know, every time you look at a scripture, God can open up some new truth or some new revelation to you or whatever. But this brother, you know, he was talking about some of the way Russia was, and this was like 40, 50 years ago, you know, when the Iron Curtain was up and all that stuff, and they were really, really strict on everything. I don't know if it's lightened up any over there or now or not, but used to, they really came against Christianity, and they didn't want any kind of Christianity in that country, because they knew that could ultimately could bring down the Communist Party, you know. But that brother, you know, he shared that, and he said, you know, he said, here I was, and he said, I thought, uh-oh, they're going to get me, you know. But that just shows you that really God had dominion. He was just being obedient to what God was telling him to do, to smuggle those Bibles in there. And he got pushed past the custom guy, and they didn't call him back. And he had all these Bibles in his briefcase and had them under his coat and everything else. Well, he smuggled those Bibles in there. Well, like I say, there was ministers over there who had been preaching off one page of the Bible for years. And I'm sure he dispersed what he had to the people over there that really needed them. But that's the neat thing about the dominion of God. He has given us authority and power that we usually, a lot of times, don't use like we could, you know. And especially when God inspires a word and gives you a word, then you can take dominion with that word, and you can, it will come to pass. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Amen. And, you know, the internet is bad in a lot of ways, but, man, it's good in a lot of ways, because you know what? Anybody in the world that has the internet now has the Word of God.
They can have it. That's
right.
Praise
the Lord. So, you know, yeah, there's bad stuff, and there's something called the dark web I'm not least bit familiar with, nor do I want to be, but there's a lot of good, too, because a lot of people have learned about the Lord and grown to know the Lord through the internet.
That's
so,
right.
Praise God. Okay, well, you know, when we talk about different topics, you know, it comes down to, to understand what the concept is and then to apply it. Just like if you're in school, no different. If you're learning calculus, you got to listen to what the teacher's saying or read the book or whatever, and then you've got to apply it. So,
yeah.
So all we're saying is take these words today and apply them. That's all we're saying. You can't sanctify yourself. You know, only God can. And you know, the Spirit of God resides in you. So if you want to call it your spirit, that's fine. But your spirit is God's spirit. It's perfect. It's sanctified. It is pure. That's the only thing in you that's pure, 100% pure. Didn't Ivory Soap have a thing where it was 99.999% pure or something like that?
Yeah, used to, yeah.
Yeah, anyway, yeah. So it's better than Ivory Soap.
You ever heard the story of Ivory Soap?
Uh-uh.
They actually found that.
Oh, it was an accident, wasn't it?
Yeah, a vat of something fell over and like some stuff got mixed or something. Well, they decided instead of wasting it, they'd cut it up and try to sell it when it got hard. And it ended up being Ivory Soap.
And it floats.
It floats, that's right.
Because I remember I had a cousin, Denny Bird, that had a boat. And if we would go down there on the river and camp, there wasn't toilets. There wasn't showers. So we would always get Ivory Soap because we'd go in the river and why buy? This is before it became polluted and all that. We're talking years ago.
Well, if it was, you didn't know it back then.
If it was, we didn't know it. They didn't say anything about it. But the bottom line is Ivory Soap would float, so we'd never lose our soap.
Yeah.
So interesting. Boring. Sorry. As we digress.
We deviated a little bit there.
As we digress. Okay. Let's go to, I want to go to spend a little bit of time on this. And you know what? I'm going to go ahead and take a break now because I think once we get into this, we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to go ahead and lay some public service announcements on you right now.
Hey, listener. Now that it's summertime, you can show your pride in WAIF through buying and wearing one of our colorful and vibrant t-shirts. T-shirts are available in a variety of colors and sizes, emblazoned with the rainbow WAIF logo, and cost only $20. Supplies are limited, so act now for the best choices. Just call this program at 513-961-8900. That's 513-961-8900 to give us your information, and we will contact you to get you your official WAIF t-shirts. All money collected goes into keeping WAIF Radio on the air. Call now. Thank you from listener-supported WAIF Radio.
A health threat anywhere is a health threat everywhere. I'm Dr. Phil. A new coronavirus outbreak called COVID-19 started in China and is spreading to many countries, including the U.S. It's critical to get the facts about how to protect our friends and loved ones. While CDC is working with states and communities to stop the spread of the virus, health workers and emergency response efforts need our support. The CDC Foundation, a nonprofit organization, is focusing on immediate and critical needs that help protect our communities here at home and those around the world. We can all play a role in stopping this deadly virus. Get updates, learn how to protect your friends and family, and find out how to help. Go to cdcfoundation.org. That's cdcfoundation.org. Together, our impact is greater.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by the CDC Foundation.
Wash your hands, avoid sick people, and touching your face. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station. There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM, Cincinnati. And we're talking today about the dominion that God has given you, or the authority that God's given you. It's not just about power. It's about, you know, you can sit there and fool yourself into saying, oh, I got all this power. But if you don't have the dominion to wield that power, you have no power. So God has given us that dominion to be able to have the power that he affords us and allows us to have. But I want to go, Oscar, to Ephesians 1. It seems like we just stay in Ephesians 1, which is not a bad thing,
that's
is
a great,
it?
That's a great scripture.
It is. It really is. Let's start with 15. If you have your Bibles, go to Ephesians 1:15. It says, therefore I also, Paul speaking, to the letter, with the letter of Ephesians to the people in Ephesus, says, therefore also I, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And here's where it starts to really get good, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wow, that's huge. Mm-hmm. In the knowledge of him. So if you're out there and you've said to yourself before, man, I don't get this God thing. I don't get the Bible. I read it. I don't understand it, whatever. You have to go within. You have to go inside, mm-hmm, and say, Lord, you've given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I've got it. I have dominion over this wandering mind. And so I'm going to ask you, Lord, to manifest that spirit of revelation and wisdom right now, and give me understanding of what you would want me to know. And also, most importantly, how do I know you better? Mm-hmm. How do I know you better? I don't want to know of you. I want to know you. Okay, it goes on to say, the eyes of your understanding. We talked last week about your spiritual senses. Mm-hmm. The eyes of your understanding is your spiritual eyes being open to understanding, or standing under the Word of God. Right. Being enlightened. What's enlightened mean? Well, God is light. Mm-hmm. That light needs to be shed abroad in us.
Well, when you turn on the light, then you can see.
That's right. There you go.
The light's off, it's hard to see.
Dispel that darkness, Lord. Turn that light on. Let us see. It says that you may know what is the hope of his calling. How many Christians or people in general, just people, have no clue why they were put on this earth? Oh, there's a bunch of them.
A lot of them, that's right.
You know? And so, guess what? He wants to enlighten us and give us hope of our calling. He wants that. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance? He wants you to know the inheritance that he's already given you. Mm-hmm. Someone has to die before you can exercise the will and distribute the inheritance. Well, someone died, and that someone is Christ and you. You both died. His death was our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. So we have the inheritance now, not some sweet by and by, oh, if I can just make it to heaven. No. The inheritance is for you now. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ? You mean to tell me that the power that he worked in Christ is available to us? Does it say that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it says it right there. I mean, Oscar and I didn't write this stuff. It says it right here.
That's right.
I'm going to read that again because I want someone's going to, the enlightenment's going to come on. That light bulb over your head's going to come on. And that is, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him on the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the which is to come. He's put all things under his feet. Well, if they're under his feet, guess what? They're under ours.
Under your feet, too.
Amen.
That's right.
And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. We're the body, folks. He's the head.
That's right.
Which is, and we're to work our way up into the head. We want the mind of Christ. So we have to work, not work in a performance-based way, but we have to bring about that Christ-like mentality. And all we have to do is just take it to the Lord, and he has to do it. You can't do it on your own merit, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And that's powerful, Oscar. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a powerful scripture right there, that if we could just get a glimpse of what this means, it'll change your life, folks. I'm telling you, it will flat out change your lives. I mean, God has given us everything. Mm-hmm. Every spiritual blessing has already been given to us. It's already been done. And it's not some future event. You know, if I was to say one thing to everyone listening here today, if you don't hear anything else this hour but this, is, you know, God has already given you everything you need to function in this world today. Everything. And I love that it says far above all principalities, far above. You know, if it's far above all principalities, that means all those powers that you've give, I mean, you have to give it power. If you're upset with someone and you hold unforgiveness towards them, then you've given it power. That's the darkness that we're talking about here in the principalities. So don't give that below stuff any power. Just like we said last week, think on things that are above, not on things that are in the earth. Mm-hmm. The things in the earth, you don't want anyway. You don't want unforgiveness. You don't want anger. You don't want bitterness. You don't want to be easily offended. You don't want to let all that garbage affect you. And if you're at work and someone you just can't deal with, guess what? You can't let that affect them at all. You have to be above the fray. If you're in a bad marriage, you can't let that marriage affect you. If you get bad news, you can't let that bad, you know, yeah, we struggle with it, but you don't need to struggle. All you need to do is get above it all. When you get above something really high, you go down to downtown Cincinnati and you get in one of those tall buildings and you look down, everything's little. And so same way, when you get up in the heavenly places with the Lord and you look down, everything becomes much, much smaller and much, much more manageable.
Right.
And then you go, okay, Lord, battle's not mine, it's yours. Mm-hmm. Have at it.
You know, Rich, I was just looking at this scripture in Hebrews talking about man, you know, and, you know, we're talking about man having dominion. And I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. And it says here, it says, let's see, it has solemnly and earnestly been said in a certain place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you graciously and helpfully care for him and visit and took after him. For some time you have ranked him lower than the and inferior to the angels, but you have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. For you have put everything in subjection under his feet. Now I'm putting everything in subjection to him, left nothing outside of man's control. But at the present, we do not see all things subject to him. And why do we not see it? Because we don't believe it.
That's it.
If you don't believe it, you won't see it. But we are able to see Jesus, who was ranked lower than the angels for a little while, crowned with glory and honor because of his having suffered death, in order that by the grace, unmerited favor of God to us sinners, he might experience death for every individual. For it was an act worthy of God, fitting to the divine nature, that he, whose sake and by whom all things have their existence, and bringing many sons into glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect, that it should bring maturity, the human experience necessary for perfect equipping for his office as high priest through suffering. But anyway, we see Jesus. He was the fulfillment of the beginning of man in the image and likeness of God. And back here in Daniel, the seventh chapter, it says, the 27th verse, and this was prophetically said by Daniel back then, it says, "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole of heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him."
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, that's pretty strong scripture there, you know.
Praise the Lord.
You know. But you know, God's given us the ability to have dominion. As long as we're following the leading of the Holy Spirit, he will honor that dominion in the things that we say and that we do, because it's bringing honor and glory to him, you know.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I wanted to go to second chapter of Philippians, Oscar, and kind of just read a little bit of this, because I think it really illuminates some things. It says, be energetic in your life of salvation. This is out of the Message. Be energetic. Man, if the, you know, if it's the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, you should be energized.
It says it'll quicken your mortal
it'll
body.
It'll quicken your mortal body.
In the King James, yeah.
Yeah, as the spirit dwells in you. So, you know, we're going to get to this word complaining, because there's a lot of complaining going on out there. And I'm not, I've been guilty of it from time to time myself. But anyway, be energetic in your life of salvation. Mm-hmm. Get excited about Jesus. Get excited that he has put breath in your lungs. Get excited that you have the opportunity to share Jesus, yes, with your mouth, yes, but with your actions. I think that is so much more important, especially with some of the stuff that's gone on in the body of Christ. It says, be energetic in your life of salvation, reverent and sensitive before God. Now, why do you think he wants you to do that before God? Because if you do it before God, you're going to do it before man, right?
That's right.
You're going to be sensitive. You're going to be reverent. You're going to treat people with respect. And whether they treat you back with respect or not is totally irrelevant if you're operating in grace. That energy that we're talking about here is God's energy. You got God's energy in you. Let it come out. An energy deep within you. If you have sickness in your body, speak to that energy, God's energy that's in you. God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. What do you think gives God pleasure?
Well, I
what do you think?
I think he has pleasure in us when
yes.
we're obedient.
Yes. He has pleasure in us seeing that we're operating
in
the obedience and in the love.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus is love. I mean, he came and gave. He would have given himself if there was only one. But you know what? He gave himself for all.
That's right.
So it says, God himself willing and working at what will give him the most pleasure. Guess what? Ask him. Ask him in your quiet time. God, I want to give you pleasure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guarantee everybody out there, if you don't know the Lord, I still think that you would want to give him pleasure. He created you.
Yes.
You can believe whatever you want. Let me tell you something. He created you.
You know, there's a scripture that says, and it's his good pleasure
yeah.
to give you the kingdom.
Kingdom.
He wants to give us the kingdom.
Amen.
He wants to give us the power and the authority, but he wants us to do it in obedience to him.
That's
and,
right.
You know, if we're in rebellion a lot of times, he's not gonna honor that word.
Right.
You know, because we have to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells us to do.
Amen. It says in the Message, but I like the New King James better. It says in the Message, do everything readily and cheerfully. But I like this because it lays it out right between the eyes. Do all things without complaining and disputing.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, seriously, wow. How many times, this is your challenge over the next week. Every time you start to think about what's going to come out of your mouth, the next few words, and it's negative, it's complaining, it's disputing, it's contentious, just stop. You know what? I know everybody wants to get their pound of flesh. Everybody wants to get what they call the 2 cents worth in.
Right.
But you know what? It's not worth it. You know, one thing I have learned is, you know, if someone's given their opinion and I don't agree with it, I don't even discuss it. I don't agree with them, but I don't disagree with them, because what good is it going to be? What good is it going to be if someone's opinionated and let's say they're even off from what the Bible says and the Word of God says? It's okay. That's God's job to set them straight, not yours. It says, do everything readily and cheerfully, no backbiting, whoa,
yeah.
No second guessing, wow, no second guessing is allowed. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this squalid and polluted society. Boy, isn't it?
Wow.
Yeah. But you know what? This was written a long time ago, so you know nothing's changed.
No,
it's just
okay.
Maybe accelerated or escalated because there's more people on the earth, you know? Provide people with a glimpse of good living. Now, you know what? I don't think for a second, Oscar, that Paul's right in saying, hey, show them what it's like to be rich and have a big mansion on a hill and Cadillacs and Mercedes-Benz and what. I don't think that's what he's saying.
No.
I think the good living is living in Christ, where you think of others before yourself.
That's right.
I think that's good living and of the living God. So what he's saying is give them a glimpse of good living. Give them a glimpse of Jesus in you. Show them that Christ in you is their hope of glory. Mm-hmm. It's their hope of glory. They have no hope without Christ. So be that person that brings positivity into someone's life. Be that person that brings that anointing which breaks off all the yokes of hatred and anger and you know, all the other things that the world suffers with. I mean, there's no better way to fight discrimination than with the love of Christ, because you disarm people that are discriminating against you, that are racist or whatever. You disarm them. If you argue with them, guess what? They're going to argue right back with you. But if you sit there and say, okay, may the love of Christ be with you, mm-hmm. what are they going to say? I mean, at that point, carry the light-giving message into the night. I like that. What they're saying basically is be a light in darkness. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be dark in darkness. It's the way it flows, you know, like just like a river flows a certain way, you know. Flow the other way, you know, flow the other way. It says that the message into the night, so I will have good cause to be proud of you on the day that Christ returns. You'll be living proof that I didn't go to all this work for nothing. That's Paul. Yeah. But anyway, if you want to truly take the dominion that God's given you, mm-hmm. you know, the great analogy of all this is when they were crossing the Jordan into the Promised Land. Guess what? You can choose to murmur and gripe like they did for 40 years, right? I mean, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. You can choose to gripe, and you can choose to be upset, and you can choose to play the blame game, or you can go on into the Promised Land. They didn't have to wait 40 years to get into the Promised Land. That was ridiculous.
That was a fairly short distance. Amen. That they had to go.
That's right.
But because they grumbled and mumbled and complained and did all that stuff, God had to keep them out in the wilderness to get the Egypt out of them.
Yes.
Before he let them go into the Promised Land. And you know, the funny thing about it is that whole generation died off.
I know.
That came, the original people that came out.
How sad is that?
Other than with Joshua and Caleb.
Yep.
They were the only two that went into the Promised Land. All of the rest of them all died off, and another generation raised up.
And when they sent the spies, which two came back and said, hey, we're more than capable of taking the land?
You know what? I love that story because God really dealt with me different times on that. But Caleb was the one who came back and said, we're well able to go up and take the land. Now, you know, you would think that Joshua was one of the future leaders, that he would have done a lot of the talking, but he didn't.
He didn't talk at all.
No, he didn't. And you know what? Joshua's name means God the Savior. So in the type and shadow, he was representing God the Savior, and Caleb was representing man,
his
sons of God. And Caleb did all the talking, and when the people came back, they made a statement, and they said, there was the sons of Anak over there. There was these big giants. And they said, and we were as grasshoppers in our own eyes compared to them. And it says, and so we were in their eyes. And you know what? Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you tell yourself that you're not, you can't do the things of God, that you can't rise in dominion or in the power or in the authority of God, guess what? You won't be able to do it, because you will have convinced yourself that you can't do it. And that's what happened to them. And because they did that, they didn't go over and possess that land then. They were right up to the border, ready to go over. And Caleb kept telling us, we're well able to go over. And they said, no. You know, the giants are over there and all this and that. 10 of them gave a bad report. And 10 is the number for law and responsibility. And the law will not take you into the promised land.
Never.
You have to go in by grace. You have to go in by grace. And you know what? Later on, after they decided not to go, then they changed their mind and wanted to go. Well, you know what? It wasn't the time then. God wasn't going to honor it because they didn't go by faith when the opportunity first opened up. So, you know, there's time elements in the things of God.
The cloud kept moving.
You can miss some of the calling that you have in your life if you don't move when God has you move. It doesn't mean that you'll be lost, but it just means that you will miss the opportunity that God opens up for you. And I tell you what, when he opens up a door for you, if you'll step through it, he will meet you every time. Amen. Every time.
Amen. You're listening to Kingdom Building. Guys, we've been talking. It's 10 minutes till 1, and we haven't even opened the lines. 513-749-1444 if you have a prayer request. We had a lot of people calling last week that said that they would call back with praise reports and testimonies. Maybe that will happen today. Maybe it'll happen down the road. But we're convinced and encouraged to hear from them so that you all can definitely gain some encouragement from that. There's someone right now. Okay, God bless you. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Rich, this is your cousin, the Birdman.
Hey,
Hamilton, Ohio.
What's going on?
I just wanted to, I've been listening to you, you know, faithfully every time you're on at 12 o'clock on Wednesdays, but I just wanted to, I got a chuckle when you, Oscar, talking about the ivory soap. Oh, I remember it float so well. But I just wanted to tell you that I wanted to praise God and give a little testimony, because in April, I had, after all the tests and everything, I had an operation. I had a tumor on my colon. And my doctor told me it could be benign and it might be cancerous, okay? I knew after that operation, as soon as I come out of that operation, I knew whether it'd be benign or not, I knew I was healed. God had healed
Praise
me.
The Lord.
I knew that. And it did come back. It was a cancerous tumor. Now, my doctor told me that there'd be a 25% chance of that coming back. And I knew right then, if that's 25%. I got a 75% God that's with me every day that can take care of that. And so I, they've suggested that I take chemotherapy, radiation. I chose through my God not to do that, because I know he has healed me. I know that for a fact.
Amen.
And, you know,
Amen.
I just know he has, and I have felt better since April than I have felt for the last probably eight or 9 years. And
hallelujah.
So I just wanted to call in and praise the Lord and thank you guys for your program. I listened to it faithfully. And I wanted to give that testimony.
Well, thank you so much. That's an awesome testimony. And I guarantee, Denny, that someone out there got encouraged.
Yes, amen.
They may be in that same boat, that same situation, or maybe it's something else. But they needed to hear a word of victory and over that foul cancer. You know, I always say with cancer, I go, if you take the word cancer, see answer, Christ is the answer. I mean, and Christ can take care of all things. He's bigger than cancer. He's better than anything that could ever, and stronger than anything that could ever come upon us.
Amen.
Amen. And all the verses, you know, Jeremiah, heal me and I'll be healed, save me and I'll be saved. And the one I like it in the Matthew 20th chapter where, the fig tree, if you got faith, what you ask for in his name will be given to you.
Amen.
I just know I am healed. So. Thank you for your program. Thank you for the time I got to call in.
Well, God bless you, brother.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of times, if we're not careful, when God does something wonderful for us, we don't come back and tell.
Amen.
And you know, there was 10
the lepers.
Time, there was 10 lepers, and they were healed, and only one came back. And gave a testimony.
Amen.
And you know what? Don't be like the nine. You know, give your testimony, because I tell you what, when you give your testimony, it gives glory to God. And then a lot of times it will open up other opportunities where he'll meet you in another way.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. Well, praise the Lord, Denny. God bless you. And thank you for giving your testimony.
Yeah,
we appreciate that.
We do.
Surely. Keep up the good work. I listen to you every week. Good Lord willing. All right. Bye.
God bless you.
See you, Denny. God bless you. Okay, so 749-1444 if you'd like to call in for prayer or have a testimony or you have a comment on the topic today. Anyway, we just have to surrender to the Lord. Really, it's just we want our way so much that we kind of push God off to the side. And we can't do that, you know?
And we want him to do it our way.
Exactly.
And he does it his way.
Right.
It's not, you know, we have to say, Lord, I submit myself to your way, you know.
Amen.
And, man, when we do that, in his ways are the ways of life. His ways are, he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes, he is.
You know.
You know, and you know, we still have time for a call if someone wants to call in, but I'm going to give this as my last scripture. And if Oscar has another scripture or a poem, feel free. But, this thing about forgetting what's behind,
mm-hmm.
when Paul spoke that, I think it was Philippians 3:13, was it? Now, Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected.
Mm-hmm.
In God's eye, he was.
Yeah.
But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if he's saying one thing, then that's something we all should do.
That's right.
Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So many people are held back because of their past.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you were an addict. You know, maybe you had 3 failed marriages.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you had, maybe you got fired on the last 2 jobs. Maybe your child is, or your grandchild is an addict. I mean, God does not hold a chalkboard and hold all those things, in front of you. No. It's not even wiped clean. He doesn't even have a chalkboard writing down all your stuff, you know? So if he doesn't count it, then you shouldn't. And you may have done something bad, but you know what? He still loves you. And there's no cause for guilt or shame because he's all you, the only thing that there's cause for is repentance. Change your mind. Change your mind about the things that you made bad mistakes in. Just change. That's all repentance means, right. Is change your mind.
Just going in a different direction. That's right. Going
Last word for you, brother.
Well, you know what? I'm just going to say this. I'm going to say you can have dominion if you'll just follow the leading of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because as you follow the leading of him, he will give you the right things to say and the right things to do. And when he gives you that dominion, all power in heaven and earth are behind you.
Amen. Amen, amen.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you, Cincinnati brothers and sisters. We love you and can't wait to see you next week. I'm off next week. It'll be you and Mike.
Yeah, it'll be me and Mike. Yeah.